read this afternoon, chapter 3 of the book of Revelation, beginning at verse 4. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things said he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, he with me. Mm-hmm. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches.
Following our discussion yesterday on the letter to the church in Thyatira, where I think we were all very much convinced it is only Roman Catholicism as we know it today, seen there in its entirety, now when we come to Sardis, we think we have just as clear a picture of what we have learned to call the Revelation, where many who would no longer abide the darkness and the evil of that system, many of them we quoted yesterday in our reading, they began movements, not quite themselves perhaps, literally, but not of them all, that eventually resulted in people reading the Word of God for themselves. I think we all have stressed that yesterday, don't we? It said to me when I got home, that the one thing that marked these men that we quoted, Zwingli and these men, was their ability to translate the Scriptures, bring it before the people, when the Church was forbidding them to read the Word of God. And hence we come to the very doubt as to the beginning of the Revelation, it was built upon the Word of God, however little the might of the Suez, that brought to light this other system, Sardis, and I think we don't mean means a storm. There was some difficulty about the word Thyatira, and I admit myself it's a difficult word to find its meaning. But I do think we can easily find out then, looking at the concordance, that Sardis in some ways connected with the Sardine or Sardius, and seems to indicate a storm. There's another thought occurred to me last night, just while you were thinking over these passages. It's one that I'm not sure about myself, but yes, I think it was, or that suggested it, that the threat to Ephesus to remove the candlestick was carried out in Thyatira. When the unity of the church was broken at two distinctive systems representing Christ came into being. I said, I'm not quite sure about that, but others may find some interest in it. And my own reason for thinking that would hardly be the point is he said, my candlestick. But the other six were left. But however, some may find some interest in that. Certainly, the unity of the church of being one was now broken in manifest testimony when in the Reformation these Protestants came out of the room.
You would distinguish between the Reformation as a movement from God in the power of the Spirit, and that which it became politically when Pope wished to escape from popery for other reasons.
That's right. And every said about that white Sardis means a storm, it is obviously not a living storm, thou art dead.
While reading this in the Reformation, you are in fact given a historical part.
Oh, yes. Yes, I think we probably remember that we did say we thought them among contemporaries. Why not at the end? I think we're right about that. And in this presentation, the very thing that Daniel has mentioned, the seven spirits of God. Why then turn to the secular power? When he is the one that has at his disposal the complete operation of the Spirit of God, may be a reference to the 11th chapter of Isaiah, where we have the sevenfold description of the Spirit of God. And does it not seem as though he's saying to them, I have all the power you needed, if only it depended entirely upon me?
Luther never got quite clear of the second part, did he?
No, oh no. See. A few of them did about that time, a little much, when the time got from them they come. I mean, in this way, they're looking back, when we are so clear of the thing, if we'd be born and nurtured in the thing that had gone on for centuries, difficult just to throw the whole thing out at once, wasn't it?
Is there any difference then between this Reformation, if we speak of which is of God, and this day we call it Protestantism?
Well, I think that's what he's indicating, that while it had a very human, almost a living beginning, the light very, very soon evaporated.
Sardis was a work of the Spirit of God, wasn't it? How find the historic church? The historic church continues their claim to antiquity and to originality, the beginning. But still, because of the state, the Spirit of God began to work outside the historic. And that is seen in the Reformation.
That's right.
And also a work outside the historic in Philadelphia.
When people began coming out of popery, popery became a more persecuting force. And it was in those circumstances that the Protestants turned to the secular state of protection. It seems that in this opening presentation of the Lord, he is saying, what's the good of turning to the secular state for help? All the preservation and help you've done is to be done in vain.
Is that what he implies when he says that thou livest and thou art dead?
Yes.
I was going to say, well, how can you live and be dead at the same time?
Well, I mean, they were living on the surface in the profession of protesting against these evil things, but it wasn't backed up by divine light, it was merely a profession. Again, as we've been noting in these readings so much, let us beware of the same thing. We look, Robin pointed out in the second epistle to Corinthians, the apostle speaks there of the word transformation. In the fourth chapter, in regard to the new one, at the end of the third, I should have said, we have this word transformed. But again in chapter 11, he uses it, as we think, as we have been for many years, in regard to the ministers of Satan transforming themselves. However, on looking up at the manner in their concordance, we discovered they were quite different words. The first one means what it says, transform. But we discovered the second one was said to change on the face. Wasn't the same word at all. Linked with it in the trans, of course, but a change on the face and not a change in form or not man.
So it's an end of an individual intimacy. The woman who lives in acts of self-indulgence is dead while she lives. What is wrong, isn't it?
It would be possible that that's a name thou livest before men, but dead before God.
Yes, I suppose that.
No reality whatever.
So this is very much alive today, isn't it?
Yes.
Spiritually.
You mean in their activities, Master? They're very active indeed, yes. No doubt about that. Their activities seem to be increasing their way. However, this is the whole judgment about it that we have here. They're living the name, trying to live up to their reputation. But I think, as our brother said, for anything but God, living to God, thou art dead.
It's a claim to status, isn't it?
Yes.
Charlie's claim to place of distinction in this very world expects to be recognized.
Should we just pause for a moment to get a clearer impression of the statement, the seven spirits of God? Is it a figure, do you think, of the complete and all various power of God to accomplish his purpose in this world? In the fifth chapter, it's connected with the Lamb, as it had been slain. And consequent upon death and resurrection and the presence of the Spirit in this world, there's no doubt that God will carry through to completion and perfection his purpose, whatever might be the opposition from popery or anybody else. Our wisdom is to be found drawing close to him.
Why then? Using the resource that is ours. Well, why David is objective that he has the seven spirits of God, I have that spirit in my soul. The subjective power that they hold upon this fullness and this availability. If anybody cares to turn up the 11th of Isaiah, seven of them are described there, aren't they?
He also has the seven stars.
Yes.
The seven spirits.
That's the angels, isn't it?
Yes. All the seven of them.
Sorry, yes.
Right. Seven of them. Okay.
Yes. Not just
the
one.
The stars.
That's right. Right. There's none beyond these reaches, is that the problem? Yes.
Is it to the same people that he says, I know thy works, the worst of the name that thou doest, and the dead you much hold?
Yes.
Strengthen the things of the name, and
yes.
The works of the dead
that are ready to die. Quite a few more things that may die. And probably in the first statement, looking at the thing in its totality, as a last movement, characterized by spiritual death, whatever the activities may have been, but we still find that human father that were true to the Lord. And I suppose it's those that are coming to right now. Unless the rest of the things that were right were going to go all together, ready to die, there's a call to repentance.
In whatever state Christians may be seen, or higher condition, or Sardis, in the fact that he has in his right hand the seven stars, would it suggest that they are accountable for him?
Oh, yes.
So that in speaking to a Roman Catholic or in speaking to a Protestant, you can speak to them, their response to it is the same Lord.
The catalogue of their departure seems to be dead in verse 1, ready to die, verse 2. Remember therefore from whence thou, what thou hast received and heard, verse 3, I suppose that goes back to the spiritual movement. And then the thief evidently puts them in the position of the world, and having defiled their garments, verse 4, defiled altogether.
That's fine. Well, the very fact that the Lord will be saying, is this great to us? Sure, so we look at them as someone parallel with the world itself.
He really looked hard, shall we put it that way, for something to commend, and it was a very difficult matter.
I do not doubt many of these things crept in, worldly things that they thought were going to support and help, instead of remembering that all that company needed was spiritual. The great danger again today, the danger of laying hold of all, we're getting a bit old fashioned, somebody said. If you had some young people in your day, then you would act differently. Well, I hope we wouldn't. I'm sure we wouldn't, and I would just say how many young people we were in. They didn't act differently for me when I was a young brother.
I don't think the things that would have done are really maintained by the young at all.
No.
We shouldn't expect them to be. We're not a youth movement, and can't be. A necessity is to mature and take the lead. And of course, they are the leaders. There's room for the young, but they can't afford to lead.
What is meant, George, by the things that remain?
Well, there are some people said a few things. And I suppose there are maybe today just a few things that are recognizable as being of the Lord himself, however things the appearance may be. And the Lord is advising them to what you have, at least hold fast to what you have got.
Would you like to state what I was into the name?
Well, I can't. Because I must say, Eddie, I know very, very little about these things and systems. I keep as far away from them as ever I can.
There's just one thing that George can say. At the Reformation, what was recovered was the doctrine of justification.
Oh, well, that was there, yes. Yes, that's good.
Now, there might be a danger of even letting that slip, but
they need to define that in prison over there?
Where you might have started.
I see. I wouldn't know.
Could I make a suggestion at this point? Not by any means in disagreement with what we just said, but perhaps a slightly different way of stating it, which comes to the second of right one, what follows, I have not found thy words perfect before God. Could we say that what was recovered was the principle of obedience to the word of God?
Well, yes, that was there.
And they took it as far as justification. But their works were not perfect in the sense they never took it as far as the church. It seems to me that the basic situation of our Protestant system, as here on the eye of the Lord, is that they took obedience to the word of God as far as justification is concerned, but it was left to others in the providence of God to complete the work of the Reformation, and in particular, to take a principle of obedience to the word of God in matters of worship and the church, which they never did. I think that has a very great deal of light upon this statement. I have not found my works perfect. Would you accept?
Oh, yes, my indeed. I'm sure that's right.
Would you say, would you consider it in this light? That in Protestantism, they never apprehended the heavenly calling.
No, that is the body.
And no Christian can be considered, their work can't be considered complete only as they are in the light of divine purpose, which of necessity is in contrast to Israel's call to the heavenly calling.
And this,
this
perhaps puts in a very fair light the way in which we owe respect to these men, as we are indeed given them respect for what we said in the last readings. Remember them, for God and the Word of God, for example. But they did take a magnificent step out of the power of the Spirit of God, but they did not complete it. Could you, sorry, well, that lasts 3 hours.
Really, what you were saying is that Paul's ministry has two parts. He not only preaches the gospel, but he brings his the ministry of the church. And in Colossians you find Epaphras again, don't you? Always praying that the saints might stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. That word for complete is the same in half of what you're referring to, John. Not only the gospel as we have it at the Reformation, but church truth, as we know historically, came out with the Reformed movement.
Many of them gave up bishops and archbishops, but they never got clear of the old tradition of a one-man ministry.
Well, that's what it really is, I feel. It's what led to these things. But speaking there again of old ministry, we must ever remember that it's embedded in the gospel, lest we be forced to do things. You remember he calls it the mystery of the gospel.
Yes.
That his preaching of the gospel was not only to get sinners saved, it was to get them in line with the thought of God and the truth of the assembly, the mystery.
What you're suggesting, George, is that if we rightly understand the gospel as Paul presented, then we will be led on to the ministry.
That's what we used to.
But historically, they didn't get so far, did they?
Oh, sure, they did.
He does see it redundantly as my gospel.
That's right.
Warning every man, teach every man, in all wisdom, to the end that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. I don't think Charles was well marked by the information.
Yeah.
So then this, remember what things thou hast, you did seen and heard, he said previous to what Martin Luther brought out.
Well, no, well, he was one of them, but we mustn't just pin the revelation to Luther. He was one of the outstanding ones, of course, but there were more than him. In fact, against Wingley were the two leaders at the time. Two men that could never agree. Strikingly, they couldn't agree. Because Luther was still hanging on to a bit of Romanism that Zwingli wouldn't have at all. And as I rather reminded him, they had a battle, and Zwingli himself was killed in the battle. But there were, the thought they were right, I do not doubt. But the works were not completely before God.
Just getting back to James' question, then you say, James' question, that what thou hast received and heard is really the truth that did come out of the Reformation. Something very good. And there's a danger even of letting slip what had come out.
Yes, and they were, as you were getting to the state of being satisfied with this justification by faith and not going on any further.
Right.
Going back to verse 2, don't you think that which marks hardest who was their reverting to the legal system?
Well, Judaism addressed them, and we know that all these old citizens, wrong man, never seen our brothers mentioned, they're all the products of Judaism.
Yes.
That's what it is.
And would you say then that in verse 2, where it says, strengthen the things that are remaining, our things in contrast to what has been in the way that is Judaism. It's really Christianity, isn't it?
They will recognize that certain things are there that were themselves.
It's not a new medical consideration, because the numerous are few, we get to add more and more to get a big company. It's more the Christianity that the supersede of Judaism. The things which remain are glorious.
Thou shalt to think that the Lord has to speak to them in the same term that he speaks in relation to the world. I know we've had this before. I will come on thee as a thief. Apparently that's one thing they've lost. The hope of the Lord's coming.
Extremely muddled about it anyway. If they were then putting themselves, George, in the place of the world, and having their leadership, we say, appointed by the world, and to expect the world as treatment from the law.
That's quite right.
Yes.
That probably is the force of holding the seven stars, isn't it? In Protestantism, you go to the Queen or the Premier to appoint those two other leaders in the church, but the stars are in the hand of Christ, and the overcomer will ever reach that point.
little earlier, George, we agreed that these men should get the credit worthy to them.
Oh, yes.
We should not let their shortcomings and obedience obscure the credit of Judah.
No, they don't, not any. We wouldn't be here today far from them.
They are also agreed, aren't we, that there were truths that came up after these men.
Oh, yes.
The heavenly calling, the truth of the body, the rapture of the saints.
That's why we want to finish with Philadelphia tomorrow, if the Lord will, and what does it lie?
There's one verse of Thessalonians, I think, that proves the fact that they are being treated as the world. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that they should overcome you as a thief. That's the Christian portion. We're not in the dark, we're children of the day. But so has heaven and gone into this Thursday.
However, I recommend them again a few names. Individualizing perhaps these people when the mass. It's a few now, we saw, didn't we, yesterday, a remnant and a few, and in the next church we're about to consider any man. But a name indicates a person, and it seems to suggest coming down to these individuals, as you name even in some, say.
The even shouldn't be there.
So that's it. Which have not defied their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy.
Tell us the name of one or two, would you?
Oh, as I said, you know. As I said, I know so little about them.
Well, I'm going to suggest one anyway, Dr. Billy Graham.
Well,
he does have to preach the gospel.
Well, yes, that's true.
He preaches justification by faith.
Yes.
He hasn't defiled his garments.
You think not? On TV and all that sort of thing, he's not defiled himself?
That in itself doesn't defile them, George.
Well, I think it does. I don't think the Lord's dependent on these rubbish he thinks to get his gospel over Daniel.
After the evil system, which is not faithful.
Well, I'm sure of that.
The
government
suggests associations.
Well, a lot of these supporters coming from these very things. We're talking about, you know.
Well, I was just looking for what I could to commend.
Yes, well, that's what the Lord, I don't know about this thing, like I don't know what is commanding. And I hope nobody here is going to recommend them. I certainly am not.
I hope I
haven't. Well, no, it's not one that I got against.
No, but with him, and one can see too in Protestantism, so forth, sides, there are some outstanding men of love, of course.
Yes, ma'am.
Men connected, for example, with the Keswick Convention, godly men, who are, in fact, going to get a big reward in the
coming. Okay.
These names won't be publicly known, will they? Like, they aren't going out to never open the meeting.
Well, maybe so, but some are. And I was just mentioning one or two that I thought I'd
give. Well, I don't know. And make their business, and the name will be in the paper.
Perhaps we should leave it as a spook here at Godmouth.
That's the best, yes, that's right.
It's easy to assess and to mark up, you know, but the devil will do it.
Oh, the Lord will put all things right in the end with all that. That's true. But yes, the word, he does say that about these few names. He has not, you see, they have not defined their garments. That way, no involves association with things that definitely are not according to his mind. Earthly, worldly, sensual things that can defile the garments of the saints of God.
All those who were known as brethren were in this system.
They were the sacrament, that's right. Still, the Lord promises them this reward, and going on with what they thought was right in their day, I suppose, and what was right
shall walk with me in ways, for there were they.
I've found one of these that I think you'll commend all of them.
John Nelson Dunn.
All right, well, yes, sir.
No, thank
you. What about
Mr.
Moody?
Yes, Mr. Dunn, couldn't get out of Mr.
Moody. What about the C.H. Spurgeon?
Right. I don't know where these figures you see, that as we've said, there they are. But the danger might be to do you, so you must take an oath, please, my dear. And the life that the Lord has given us today, I believe, is a slight fact for any one of us to go in and associate with these things.
Well, I hope I haven't. Anyway,
if you've one ever said you have, then I don't want to say that for you, no, but that's why I'm speaking so firmly about them. I've noticed that the people who didn't want to support that will go on together. You know that, Lord.
It seems in verse 4 that he desires a company to walk with me.
Oh, yes. Right. You say, he can assess what we can do, but I must walk according to the light and the truth the Lord's given me. And this is to the seven assemblies.
But of course, the men perhaps are walking in the light of the truth and all.
Well, yes.
What does the light involve?
Well, white, I think, is like justification. White is used in scriptures, as far as we know, in the times, as indicative of practical righteousness. Such as Aaron on the great day of atonement, you remember. The only garments he wore were linen. White.
It seems to be the perfect logical answer to those that have not defiled their garments.
Yes, that's certainly it. They're trying to keep their garments white, yes.
It isn't in the sense that, as we speak of righteousness, which or justification, which we get by faith, maintained in walls suitable to God.
Yes, that's going to be, and his appreciation of that, and his answer to it, in that day.
What does that mean about not blotting his name out of the book of life in this case?
Well, I can only tell you what others have suggested about that. That when the Protestants seceded from this Romish system, that their names would be blotted out of the church book. And the Lord says, well, the men blot your name out of the church book on earth, but it will never be blotted out of the book of life. That's what I generally have suggested about it.
You mean the way to communicate?
Well, that would be it, I suppose, yes. Yes. But why worry if your name is not on the church book, so long as you have it still in the book of life?
Of course, persecution from Sardis can be accused when you come out of it.
Oh, yes. That can be, yes. That's it?
Sorry.
Was it Moses that said about his name being blotted out?
What may I pray out of the Bible? As we pointed out, there were two men, both willing to die for Israel, but they were not able. Moses of you are quoted there, and Paul in the New Testament, I was with you myself, a test for Israel. Quite willing, but quite unable.
It certainly has the ring of individuality about it.
Yes, it does, and then confess it is his name, doesn't it? Yes.
Right.
And let us remember, as we've said, and never before, being in readings on the churches where the individual side of it has come so much before us. I said, it wasn't a fine one when I came over.
Was that then?
Perhaps I'm guilty.
Oh, well, it's a hard one saying that it's done me, but there's nobody else done it, I assure you. Not to me to look at these as a historical thing, but to look at every one of them as a word from the Lord to me.
Well, actually, an overcomer is always individual, isn't he?
Well, it's one doing, that's right, of course.
You can't get whole companies overcoming.
That's right. The force is overcome, and must be the individual one by one. Confess his name, his approbation, before my Father and before his angels. Those beings who never swerve from the accomplishing of the will of God. confess the name of this person who goes on to where we may be, even before the angels. Says about them in one place, you remember, they go straight forward.
There are not so many references in Revelation to his father.
No. But I think in Linus, there's going to be something for that when he does bring in the name of the Father, that he coming into manhood and ever in you, the glory of the Father and the accomplishment of his will. And if you have in view the accomplishing of my will, I'll confess your name before my Father, taking character from himself.
Would you say that it was really in connection with the fact that their names were blotted out of the book of the church you were talking about?
Yes.
Was that they did confess the name before men?
Oh, wow.
Now he turns it around and says, if that's the case, I will confess you before my Father and before the church.
We saw yesterday, didn't we, his assertion of his rights as the Son of God in relation to the assembly. And I don't know that you say these men confessed his rights and were determined to move in relation to him.
Well, I wonder if it went any further in the fact that we know the Father, God as Father, which doesn't seem to be fully entered into by many, and even years ago. But what we, the truth we've received is that we know the Father.
Oh yes, that's true Christianity, of course.
True Christianity.
Oh yes, that's true.
I mean, you hear so many speak about in their services, Almighty God, and in their addressing, prayer,
yes,
such like things. The Father doesn't really commit to him much.
This is really fulfilling a promise he made when he was here. Whosoever confesses me before men, him shall I confess before my Father
in heaven. And it really shows how those stars have fallen. There's a confession there before men in Matthew chapter 10. But here is a confession before the church, showing that really the stars of the world are on the same level.
Isn't your Father, isn't it? My Father.
My Father, yes.
It's almost that, isn't it? I think I might be saying the followers very seldom mention Revelation, and where it is mentioned, it's always in relation to the Lord, not in relation to us in Revelation.
The position that he himself occupies, and seems as though he's going to get all the other kind to share it with him.
That's very precious.
Yes, it is indeed, and you'll come out again perhaps tomorrow. If he gets away with overcome and walking into the Delphi, right?
It's not in the 23rd verse. Next was there too.
Well, that's right, yes. Sit down to me in my throne.
Now I have gone and I've sat down with my Father.
What would constitute the formal common at present time? We take this more as individual, as we suggested.
The overcomer is one that is not overcome by all these things. That I know all the will of God is, and I absolutely refuse to bow down to these other things or to be gone by.
I was thinking in relation with perhaps one today in the systems, realizing the position that he's in, and he gets clear of this.
That's right.
And associates himself then with that which is truly God.
Are you aware of it? Really?
Yes,
that's right.
The only thing to think about, George, is that perhaps you might even stay in the system.
Well,
as an overcomer, wouldn't it always be, and in all the churches, an apprehension of Christ in the way in which he presents himself to that particular church?
Right. But not overcome by these other hostile things that are there.
Well, so,
yes, I didn't mean that it may almost be a sort of liberal, that is.
Yes, I don't think it's always necessary that it come out of the system. You see, we had it in connection with Baratire.
Well, there wasn't any way to go by your time, did you know?
There isn't out there.
Well, there is now,
yes. There is still overcomers in Baratire.
Probably, yes.
I think the same applies in Spanish.
Maybe, yes. We were trying to win brothers that become out. The best way to overcome it.
come out from among them, be ye separate.
That's the word there.
There have been many overcomers who have never left the system, and they know where from. I know one well who took out the little in the chapel and in one of the concerts, and even dancers and mockers. This man stood out alone. And didn't leave the chapel.
No.
But he was known as the hindrance to their desire.
Well, I must say, Randall, you may think that I'm pretty stiff about this. Well, I really am. But the people that I have met have told me that, I said, well, as long as you're living, you're supporting the thing, no good complaining to me about it. If we're as wrong as you say, the only thing you can do is do what we want. Well, I don't care. I don't lose it. It's to get out.
But the thing is this, that was an exercise. I'm not speaking of mine, I'm speaking of
this. Oh, no, yes, twice. Well, I'm only saying when they came to me like that and told me that, you see, well, as long as you stay there, you're supporting the very thing. You will be out.
And the point is that, George, the bounty of you could never bear any of you or me.
Well, that's it. We take it on what comes.
And the same person, the same elderly individual, and a father-in-law.
The same elderly individual
had a father-in-law who at that time came and came first from eating and broke bread that very moment, and within a few days was found dead in the bedside bed.
And was reading about the law quite recently. God says he was a righteous man. And you made righteous men in the system. But the whole walk was a righteous man. He was never an overcome.
No.
And that's what I'm
saying. Right. He's one of the seven just men of Scripture, actually. There's only seven, and he's one of them.
That's right.
That he should never say this.
All those who have come out, they're all overcomers.
I couldn't expect to be anything else. Husband, bigger than the moving in relation to the Lord, I quite agree with what is being said, mind you. That I know I mean these people myself. They do not submit to these things, like you love them, but they stay there.
Yes. But I think what's more solemn is they have taken a step and have come out and they're not maintaining what they have come out to.
Well, that can be done.
Well, that will come in there.
Well, we might find that way to see this now, eh?
Does not the Lord lead us out as we're obedient to His word?
Well, it's no good coming out merely to a name or a profession. That doesn't last very long, you know. I quite agree with what you say. It's the Lord's interest that is leading me to make a move. I certainly stand by it. But if I think, well, you've got more truth than we have where we are, and I like you people there, well, I find out when I get to know you a bit better, and I don't like you as much as I thought they did, and that I
Peter said, if it is out, bid me come unto thee, and he said, come.
Just following up Peter's important question, do you think there's a danger that we might carry the principle of silence in our hearts, even if we come out of it?
My dear,
yes, I'm afraid it's a feature that might very well, and does in fact mark some of our meetings.
Just got that in Mr. Darby's lifetime, where the clergyman came out,
yes,
but he kept his surplus. And he was told to burn it, and he didn't. And he went back to the system which he had ostensibly left.
Yeah. The good point I was making, Mr. Stark, was that even so far as our meetings are concerned, instead of their being marked by freshness and I'm afraid of deadness, somehow marks our meeting within the principle of silence.
That's why I said I appreciated these readings. It's certainly of nobody else. That's these very features of the end of the mark.
We need to be overcomers in our meeting.
Yes.
If we're not complete, we need to be overcomers in your meeting where we are. It's not just a change of position, is it?
No.
It's a change of state. Moral state.
Well, it ought to be. That's why you're leading us in the right hand. It's there, he has the seven spirits of God, and whoever we are, whatever the circumstances, it is a desire in my heart to move in a path that I know is right. Yes. If you go on deeper, if you go on with that which you know is not correct and in order, you're bound to get into trouble sooner or later. Mm-hmm. Isn't that what nearly happened to Jehoshaphat? He joined himself to Ahab, and he nearly lost his life in the battle. Mm-hmm. That can so easily happen.
Yes, that's right. In our meetings in Pindotti, we had Mr. Spar, where he brought a minister in. And he begged me over the room, he says to this man, he's a minister and such he wants to have a word with him. He said, well, what I want to tell you after listening to this exposition of the Bible is, in the church that I'm responsible for, their ignorance of Scripture is abysmal. I didn't ask him for it. And I says, who's responsible for that? And if it isn't you. He just went out and said, well, women. However, not too bad to get on the way to see you.
Yeah. We all talk about
yes, by the way. Yes, go on.
Now, we have seen in the last 2 days that each church is in a different moral condition.
Right.
And how he finds himself is relative to that condition. This is a very short letter, Sardis. Half a dozen verses.
Right.
The next difference in the length of the letter he wrote. The Ephesus is quite a long
one. Oh, yes.
Thyatira is quite a long one.
Well, would it not be quite short? That's right, so very little that he could take a car from beyond himself. That's what we thought about it.
Well, I'm glad to see you. You say it was people's rights.
Well, we don't know. That's the meaning of that one. It's Thyatira, well, it definitely is. Well, all I hope we don't get it over again. The Leo is the lady. And it seems that this is the combination of this word is people's rights or the assertion of the people. Democracy was almost what we would call it today. The point is, what we have to deserve is we're in a series today, eh? We may think we're nowhere going to help you in services and play it out. Where are we going to place there to see?
This is altogether then a moral condition.
Oh yes, I don't know that.
And it might mark any of the bodies you've been.
Well, yes. Right. But this is something not only rejected by the law, but the saints will never be themselves, the saints.
Yes, we have to distinguish, haven't we, the thing in essence, the way in which it's affected others.
Quite a good man.
He refers to himself quite often as the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Isn't this letter? He refers to himself as the Amen. Before he says another word, he's the Amen.
Quite a yes. Mind you, I think you're not very good enough to know that when I make these statements as to what I simply mean, that I'm not a dogmatic fellow, Nick, that's it, they're not against you.
Oh, I don't think we've mentioned.
No, that's right. Very good. But as far as I understand these terms, the way the devil appealed to me was the Amen is where Christ is now at the right hand of God. For all the promises of God in him are yea and amen to the glory of God by us. I think the faithful and true witness looks back to the four Gospels in the testimony that the Lord bore here in behalf of God and the beginning of the creation of God, and he goes right back to Genesis 1. That's the right of this, isn't it? People talk about new creation here, but I hardly think, in fact, new creation can hardly come in here in a profession. However, others may have some thoughts about them. That's the way they agree to me.
I was thinking, for instance, the beginning of the creation of God, in the physical sense, not in the new sense.
Would it not carry the thought that everything that has been brought into being for the pleasure of God has emanated from him? If I have that assured in my heart, well, I could do without him. But he's outside this assembly, you see, as though they can get on very well without him. They said there's nothing for God about me at all. That's how I understand it.
Could it possibly be this, that in their sphere, the testimony of Christ is so obscure that he retains to himself the testimony of creation when all other testimony is gone?
Maybe not. Yes, why?
Certainly these three are in absolute contrast, aren't they, to the position of their
sphere. Oh, yeah.
Those that knew not God had
revelation of him in creation, in the beginning, as you say, of creation.
Yes. And Romans 1 speaks of that, doesn't it?
And I think here the doctor has said that he's drawn their notice to what those that knew not God, they did know him. But the ones that knew not him had this revelation.
Yes, the invisible things of him are known. That's what it says, you remember, in the material creation.
Also in Acts 14, George, God ever himself that witness to my age, filling our hearts with truth and gladness, testimony to the faithful Creator.
Well, does it mean that then the temporary divine thought will be established in him?
Oh, we can be sure of that, Henry. I'm sure of that. He brought in the creation for the pleasure of God, and he'll see at the end that it does them instead of the pleasure of God. Yes, we can be sure of that, eh?
I had wondered too if there is this simple thought in it. The less creature can really get nothing done at all.
No, well, that's right.
The Lord is the one who gets everything done. It's really an absolute study in contrast.
Well, isn't that why he's called the Amen?
Yes.
That everything will be completed in his hands.
Oh, yes, sir.
In my undone
confirmation.
Well,
in what way then is the faith of the true witness? Does that refer to his life down here?
Well, I thought it did. That's why I have said just myself, I've lived these in that way, that where he is now in the fulfillment and the effectuation of all that he died to secure, the Amen. I quoted Corinthians, you remember, all the promises of God in him I gave, and Amen. The glory of God by us. I have called myself the faithful and true witness. Was when he came into this world in service for God, he never neglected one point in that service.
And he was really working out what was the creation of God in his witness.
Well, yes, I suppose so. Now that's the why that creation came into being. But then, as being the beginning of the creation of God, he's not merely an effect that has been created, he's the one that began the whole thing for the pleasure of God.
He also said the faithful witness will not lie.
Quite. He's the faithful and the true, you remember.
Well, I struggle thought in Colossians, the first born creation.
Aye, that's a third of thought. That is new creation there, I think. First born of all creation.
The beginning without any qualification. Not only the beginning of the creation of God, but the beginning, which would include everything, wouldn't it?
I have to say that. I thought they were on the first figure. I loved it. I was using the firstborn on many birds, I'm sorry. The firstborn of all creation means that whether it's all creation or new creation, Christ is supreme and all. Aye.
Isn't this faithful and true witness a beautiful presentation of the one who's going to meet all the unfaithfulness and falsehood of what comes after these next two verses?
I think Daniel has said there's a sharp contrast in himself to the state of this very same assembly.
When we go back to chapter 1, where the young, where this is introduced. And from the seven spirits of God, shall the Holy Spirit, from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead. Then it adds, and the prince of the kings of the earth.
Yes, that's the emperor of all, isn't it? All right. But now again, he says to the mind of thy works, that thou art my own heart. He hasn't one good thing to say about the first time in the shop, okay? So then, because the one that won, neither called my heart, I was spewing out of my mouth. It's a complete rejection, I think, of the flawless system, apart from the sense of them altogether, those that belong to him.
Do you think that the coldness in Sardis and the little heat in Philadelphia brought about the lukewarmness in Laodicea?
Well, when I don't know when characterized by one or the other, it's a peculiar statement they use about them, isn't it?
They've got a little cold that made them lukewarm.
Well, that's what he says, and they haven't got either. That's what he says, because they are neither.
Are these to be considered as successive phases.
I think these four are on the end.
I'm referring now to Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. They're not really successive phases.
No, I don't.
These three, they spring out of higher heaven. The three.
Spring out of what?
Higher heaven.
Oh, well, yes, when the rain came, I think that is right. One sprang out of the other. I think so. Oh, my point is, we didn't want to finish on this miserable note. That's why we passed over for the day before the Lord was to the model. But it certainly is a miserable note.
What do we do this time from verse 15? We're neither one thing nor the other. Since I know thy works, thou art man and cold and hot. And describing thy works, so is this very thing.
What's the scribe then? I think that's what he said about them. He doesn't judge them with being like Sabbath, as has been said dead altogether, but there's not the heat, as I wasn't, as we suggested in Philadelphia. Neither of these things were there with them. No more.
His resources referred to were not initial, are they?
I think it's saying that they had Philadelphia in truth, but there's no power, no reality.
Yes, I think that's been said well enough. I'm perfectly sure it's right.
And I just thought when I was thinking about it, how does that apply to me?
Philadelphian truth without having Philadelphian character.
Exactly so.
In other words, we're called upon to be overcomers in our position in both Philadelphia and Laodicea. We've still got to read this very carefully, haven't we?
Don't you think that many who are brought to the Lord at the present time are brought to the Lord as a condition of things and characterized by Laodicea?
Well,
I say that was showing my own case. I would say that I was definitely in this Laodicean condition, and to be converted was the reality to be.
You don't say in plain view that you're escaping from Laodicea.
I would say so. That's how I look upon myself in that way. I would say that.
Oh, the Laodicea is staying in yourself, you may know.
Yes, I was supposed to be a Methodist, but wasn't. I was a worldly young man. Therefore, everything you said in Laodicea, I should say, would answer to my own condition.
Wouldn't you say, Trevor? I think it's rather important that rather than you were rescued from Sardis,
I would say, no. Well, I was in Sardis, but stayed.
That's right. We can all get into a Laodicean state. I'm perfectly sure of that. But this is regarded as a church, you see.
Yes, when I was asked what my religion was, I thought, say, Protestant. But that's a state. I never knew it, but if I read Laodicea, that was my state. To be converted, I would say I was converted up as a state of things.
So, point of view, because. Don't you think that one fact sets this in a very clear fashion, which is the characteristic of our day? When Sardis first started, they were hot enough to persecute. And they did. How they had one burnt. Many of them were burnt in Elizabethan times. They thought religion mattered. Things of God mattered. Hot enough to persecute.
Yes.
And now, what we've come to is a day of universal toleration, and that is Laodicea. Why is it toleration? Because nothing matters. But spiritual things just don't matter. You don't get excited about it.
Protestantism really was politics, wasn't it?
Pardon?
Protestantism was a people's politics.
I guess I'm thinking of it's really a matter that people are called Christians, but they don't think the things of God are worth any words of the Lord at all. Indifference, toleration, to the complete neglect of the faults of the things of God, right?
In the main, there were nothing good of the Reformation. In Sardis, in the main, there are nothing good of the Reformation. As a matter of fact, the new buildings have the Ten Commandments very beautifully. Before the whole time.
George, but we move on. You don't mind if I just have a little word of There was a bigger bulletin on the other, Philadelphian truth without Philadelphian condition. Don't you think that that nails Philadelphia rather too much on those who have had Philadelphian truth? I think this is a moral state that might spring out of Sardis or even Fire and Fire as well as out of Philadelphia.
Yes, it did. Don't you? Personally, I think it's right out of Philadelphia.
Would you say it could be holding doctrine without practice?
Well, that might apply to Sardis.
I don't know.
Could that apply to the very, very movement which we profess to be in? That is, after the movement, it may be found by the Philadelphia. But that's the state. There it is.
The only point I'm seeking to make is that, so far as the clock is concerned, certainly it does follow Philadelphia. But as to origins, I think this condition, this moral condition, command others besides Philadelphia.
Well, if we get on with it, you're not one to say that, not because of what you're saying, but to explain a bit what you're saying. Because the Lord tells us why he said that in verse 70.
Rich, you mean?
That's right. It's because they were saying it. I am rich and increased with goods and a meager life. You ever hear that one today, Anna?
Well, I don't think you can limit that only to doctrine, George, can you? I mean, the Methodist Church freely admit now that never had so good the money to clothing it. They're rich.
I don't mean doctrine either. I mean the stealing. Do you ever hear these terms anywhere today? Rich and increased with goods and the meager life.
Not even in Christ.
Well, I say the other side of the earth. That they're so satisfied with the things they're going on with themselves. Christ is outside.
You know, it's impossible not to hear these words and yet to be in that condition. Not expressible.
Well,
obviously.
I believe I can be in any one of the conditions in these seven churches, Peter, that I don't look out. I'm quite sure of that. That's why we kept emphasizing what the Spirit says to the churches, not merely the leaders. I want to take account of the whole seven. Oh, I quite believe in you. These things are not me. Yes.
We have to be very careful, Andrew. I said it last night in the conference. In private conversation with Mr. Hoare the last time, I met him. He said, the moment I say I'm Philadelphia, I want to see you.
Well, that's not his statement, Father, no. I haven't said that. But this is what the Lord is saying about them, you see. His assessment is wretched, miserable, poor, lying naked. I take it from the spiritual side of that which is of any worth at all. These are the things they're losing, while forcing in all these other things, the acquirements and other directions. They get money or fame or doctrine or whatever they're involved themselves in.
Or scholarship. I like maybe scholarship in universities. John knows more about than I do. You find a lot of learned people popping themselves up saying, oh, we know all about this. Christ is outside.
They say what they have. Thus they seem, seems to suggest what they haven't done.
That's right.
What is it?
Constantly the body of me, all pride in the fire.
I see different things.
That's not human righteousness, that's divine righteousness. Doesn't mean that I'm always there at the time and always doing the little part and keeping my end up. No, that means I'm in right relation with God and divine righteousness.
Isn't that the gospel?
Well, I suppose
it comes from here.
It's what is offered to men, there's no doubt about that. That all pride in the fire, I take it as divine righteousness that has been brought into effect. That's the fruit of the cross of Christ.
It's available.
It's available, right now, yes.
We buy it. We get a low down with that. Right.
But it has to be bought.
Yes.
You don't get it for money.
No. Well, no, there's to be a transaction.
That's right. These are the professors, you see, not supposedly innocent world.
Well,
then
it's the buy it.
Then there will be the manifestation into that of the whole thing.
Well, I'm sure that will come in.
Yes.
And we all will apply the truth until it not. That means that I'm prepared to keep something to gain something. That's very kind of idea.
Buying wine, milk, and honey without a price.
That's right.
But here, but bought from Christ, out of me, by from me. Right. He's outside. That has to be a personal transaction with the one who's outside.
Yes.
And you can only have a transaction that is suggested here, and never at your terms, that has
overcome the share. Well, it says fine. You won't readily give up anything that costs you something, will you? Buy the truth.
That's right.
Sell it out.
This is not offer of the forgiveness of sin. This is in the world. This is proof. It's Christian. This is not the thing.
Yeah.
The Lord says you're not, you're not. And if you're not prepared to sacrifice, you never will get it.
This is really the profession.
The profession, I think so.
I've learned the best gospel preaching I ever heard of the company from Mr. Boyd.
That's it. Well, yes.
We don't have to take it back.
Yes, right.
To a moment from here. In recent days, we found no difficulty at all in putting a label on these churches.
Aye.
But we see your difficulty tonight in putting a label on the ladies here.
Yes, it's the church.
Wait.
Well, I think I could put a label on it, eh? But our return is to give it to myself.
I feel I should have done
you. If you want to label it, you're quite welcome.
I don't want to do it, but for the little bit, we've just made a start on the pathway.
Mm-hmm.
We're not forgetting the political condition of what I see it.
Oh, yes.
And it's difficult, it's well nigh impossible to put a label on it.
Practically, well, everyone. Practically everyone coming in to hear a gospel message in a country like England and Scotland and Ireland, of course. It would be in the profession, wouldn't they?
Well, yes, I suppose it would. Well, that's why you were saying about the professors there. But Eddie, you're the main people that will tell you that everything that you've got, nothing.
Wait a minute.
Ah, yes. That's where I think they deceive, isn't it?
This was an actual state. I'm going back historically now. This was an actual state in an assembly.
It was an assembly, that's right. It wasn't really an individual.
No, in an assembly, and these were still being believers.
Well, professionally, they're all believers professionally in the whole of the mind and the soul. Professionally.
It's in the profession.
It is. It's a profession we're dealing with.
It's a work of brethren, I would say. A work for us, a work for those in our own meeting. Wherever we go, it's a word of Protestants, it's a word of Catholics, it's a word of all men.
Well, you are right, sir. Well, it's certainly a word for me. I'm sure of that in relation to it, because I feel my own self that I am deserved to lead us here in a company.
Yes.
And more I'm not going to say.
Well, that's really a people away from. Verse 19. I hope we get to the end of the
session. I know it's done.
I think that verse 19 really shows the doorway out. Where is frequently the
past right?
As usual, that I've contacted in the last 10 years or so, who got blessing, have nearly always been under the Lord's chastening hand before the life giving word is
given.
Brought low.
Discipline really comes low.
Chastening.
Yes,
sir. I'm interested in 19. Discipline. As many as I love, by any of you can chase me.
Yes.
Yes, sir. You didn't comment on the eye shot. I take it this is between the work for one still.
Oh, that's why there's really no way for himself. Not being in the best ministry, you know. Being the spiritual men of thought up that you can't find in the Word of God at all, you see. That's what we need in our start for the day. That's where the danger is. Men, spiritual men, getting, as it were, beyond Scripture. Have you seen that, sir? Yes. Later seen another little one. Aye. Yes, sorry.
Are you going to say, no matter how far, how low later she had fallen, he left the door open for them?
Right.
For the way out.
That's why I agree with what Brian said. They say it's rather than have to be warm. Well, they see, and I'm perfectly sure in my own soul that that's true.
The only thing is, George, that a pure layer of sin, if you correct me, man, is an unconverted person.
Well, it never, yes, yes.
The feature you're describing now is a layer of sin feature in one who's a real believer.
Mm-hmm. But if your father forced you to break bread when you were 12 years old, whether you were converted or not, do you think you might have tangled the layer of sin?
Yes, but he might be a real believer.
Well, might, yes.
Might not.
Might not. This is pure none of his mouth. It's a very conditional thing. It's a very solid thing. Eh?
Peter and the
Spirit. No, I'm not quite sure of that. Oh, yes, we're not saved by the door. It is a state of things, and a collective state of things, I believe. And it's the Lord's judgment about the things.
The one who commanded to accept this rebuke is this. Men I love, I rebuke. I'm going to say, it's remarkable how he says, as many as I love.
Yes.
Never let that toward. He always loved, no matter what condition you were in, he always had that love. In other words, you say, whereas profession or Ephesus had lost their pistol, he never lost his pistol. To them,
rebuke
a wise man and he'll love thee, rebuke a fool and he'll hate thee.
You are in court, that's container, not for preaching, but here it's addressed to demons. I think it's important to see it.
Oh, I'm quite sure it is. That's why we said about this buying. I would never tell an unconverted man to buy the forgiveness of his sins. But it's the Lord himself telling professed Christians to buy him. Mm-hmm.
It's going to cost you something.
Yes, I think mean, that's the point. There's a cost attached to it.
You have to get down on your face.
Right? And now knocking, isn't it, in the prison?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
I think the Jewish is translated to, I have stationed myself at the door, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's his permanent position. In love, he stations himself at the door, ready to open.
May thy love, is this a matter of numbers, or is it just a matter of including the law of many? The man itself to just a certain number, and many.
Always be on an individual basis. Ah, there's always the remnant in the view we've seen on the down, haven't we? Those that genuinely do belong to the Lord, oh yes.
Hmm. And if there's no rebuke, it's shredded, isn't it?
That's right.
We must be supported in when we're useful for the Lord without it.
But here again, you see, the movement has to be on my side. That is if I'm saying this. We're just using that as if it's a again. If anyone here might force to open the door, that's on my side now. He's not going to force it open. That's my responsibility to do that and find out where I am. I welcome into him, sup with him, and he will make him enter to my side and fellowship with me in the circumstances in which I am born, and transfer me to his side and so with him.
To Luke 24 and John 1, isn't it? They constrain him to come in, he's up to them. Where dwellest thou? Come and see. John 1, we sup with him. Really opens up a wonderful range of truth, doesn't it?
We know how hard it is in this, wouldn't they, when it says to yourself, very much in evidence. We're liable in that plan on coercion, persuasion. But where there's a word of God in the soul, that person will not get that. That woman in John, in Luke 7, that there's no one that can help. She found the Lord.
This would underline, George, wouldn't it, the importance that the company in communion with Christ is dependent upon the condition.
Oh, I'm sure of that. One must be at all times.
And then we come to this door. It comes from a heart that's in proper condition to see all of that.
They said at the door of the heart, it probably is all right.
And the handle is on our side.
Yes, that's being said, isn't it? That I'm the man called upon to open the door and I'm in this state of seeing condition.
Isn't that true, George, saying, going to American Day, you hear it repeatedly. I couldn't care less.
I will, yes.
Isn't that almost what we've got here? It's an utter state of complete indifference to the Lord and the Lord's interest, which he is about to screw out of his mouth.
What?
There's something horrible and distasteful to it.
Well, it's their preachment to him that overcometh this indifferentism.
There's not a worse thing I'm persuaded in the sight of the Lord, nor indeed that runs right from the scriptures, than a man setting himself up in pride before God. Pride that God hates is the worst thing that God would tolerate, and it's the last thing that God would tolerate. In fact, he won't tolerate it at all. Run right from the Bible, pride, and can't say exactly what the trouble is, yet pride in themselves.
So you resist them.
You resist the problem.
That is the sin of the devil.
Well, he got your liver with somebody who was quoting your word the other day.
Right. The devil himself, that was...
That was where he started, that's right.
He said, I will be crying.
That's right. One time the Gingler said, my son Bob has been a great person, spiritual, and all the one you like as I do. I can be very sure that God will put his hand on me.